Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Aileen Drexler, Jordana Abraham, and Sammy Sage. Before they were business partners, they were close friends who've known each other since elementary school.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Get to know the women who've been making us laugh since 2011.
Who allowed you to take my breath away?
This is At Betches.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana.
And today, we have so much to talk about. We are recapping a busy couple of weeks. We're going to revisit Jordana's wedding, but like only the amazing details, the Thanksgiving weekend. There's so much content out right now also that we have to discuss. So where do we start? Welcome back. How was your wedding? How was your honeymoon?
The honeymoon was like a little, just kind of like a three-day extension, I would say.
Right.
The word mini moon is such a douchebag term, but like that's what it was. It was like a few days. Do you know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. Like, because you didn't actually like change locations, I think you could even get away with calling it nothing. You know,
right? It was just like we stayed an extra few days. And we went to a different hotel. That's what I'm kind of calling it.
Yeah.
Unless I want to milk it, and then I'm like you know what I mean in terms of like not people asking me to do shit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But no, it was okay. So the wedding, I had a great time. I listened to your recap with Sean, which was nice because it was the first I had heard from anyone not talking about it to my face. But obviously, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
I want really thought.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I named the cocktail hour fire festival. But other than that. I would say, and you can hear me talk about a lot about the actual particular details on Brides, which comes out on Monday. But I feel like we could talk about just like being there because you were there too.
Yeah, no. Why? First of all, I know why you might try to call it Fire Festival, but like it wasn't that bad.
It was like really dark. There wasn't like they didn't bring out all the food. So I feel like people were like chasing down the hors d'oeuvres people.
Funny that I wouldn't have even noticed because I do that anyway.
Okay. No, there was supposed to be like a lot more food. I think it was just like a kind of because we pushed everything, so it got like a little chaotic for the cocktail hour. But then after that was like my low point for the week, the whole weekend. I think everything else I thought was
you were really a champ about it. Like you really didn't like seem too upset or stressed. Like you were just sort of like,
oh good,
you didn't come across as too stressed.
To be totally honest, I felt like I did feel like everyone's mood and everyone's positivity really like helped me not think it was a big deal. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like everyone I was speaking to was like very much downplaying it, didn't make it seem like it was like annoying at all. And obviously like that's like a nice thing to do just like at any event you're going to for someone. But I just thought like everyone was really positive and like just like nice and didn't seem uncomfortable or like annoyed or was very like go with the flow. Like even when we pushed everything back, like it'd be very hard to change a regular wedding to push it back an hour. But it was kind of like so small that we could just kind of like text everyone. And it was like you to like spread the word.
Yeah. No, it like because I think here's the thing. I don't know if like everyone would have been able to like stay so positive if it were a big deal. But it like really wasn't like because the wedding was like because it was so small. It's not like, you know, your parents had like 100 high maintenance boomers to like keep satisfied. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was like it was really just like us and the, you know, our plus ones and like the just pretty much like the extended circle. And like
right.
No one really cared. Like it was literally just a difference of like, are we sitting here for 30 more minutes or are we like going over there for 30 minutes? And like it just genuinely like didn't matter. And I think everyone, it's also like the people who were in like your bridal party were all like very close. It's not like, oh, we had to be like awkward or like, you know, there was nothing like too problematic. Like there were a lot of us, we were all together and like it was fun. Yeah.
And overall, I had such a, and this again, I don't know why I just right off the bat started talking about the one negative thing, but overall, I was a really great weekend. I like, it was what I wanted it to be, which was like friends hanging out with each other for like a whole weekend, kind of like a camp, like
yes,
getaway or something like that. And that's what I wanted for it. And I feel like that happened. And so I'm really, really happy with it. And I think it was just like really sweet and a loving, funny, fun weekend. So
totally. Overall. I really also feel like it's special because like, obviously we all like know each other and we've spent time together and we've gone on trips or whatever. But like, it's not ever, you know, we've never had a wedding where all of us and our spouses, significant others, yes, are all there. And like, everyone will be there. Not like, oh, this person's not, you know, not there. Although we were missing a few friends due to new babies.
Pregnancies, yes.
But, and yes, but it was still just like such a nice, like fun bonding time. Like, I feel like you come out of those weekends and like everyone's like closer than they were even.
Totally. And that's really like why I wanted to do a destination at, as Jared says, somewhere where we trap you for the 3 days. Like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like at a resort where like everyone is sort of staying there. Because right, when I went to that wedding, I went to a wedding there 3 years ago and I like became friends with people. And I'm like not someone who even makes friends. And I didn't know anyone. And I had like a lot of fun just like with the people that, because it's 3 days. So right, I kind of felt like, oh, like if I could do that with like people who are already actually friends, like imagine, right, imagine the possibilities.
Also, another thing is that like, okay, you know, I'm not like really a beach vacation person. Like we never go to like a resort like that typically.
Right.
Like
you're
I'm
like
not,
ski. You're more like the ski mountain
or, like,
girl.
Go to like a city, yeah, you know, a city or something or like right, whatever. But yeah, we never would go to like, I've been to the Caribbean like on spring break. Like in,
that's interesting.
In
I guess I haven't really thought about that for you, but that's true.
Yeah. So we never do those types of vacations. And honestly, like I kind of, the part of the reason why I'm never like, oh, I really want to do that is because I actually find it like kind of boring. Like you're just like, mm-hmm, at the resort and like every day is sort of just like the
you
same.
You go to the pool, you go to the beach, right. Yeah.
And you meet at the restaurant. Maybe you leave for 10 minutes and go to another restaurant somewhere else. But like, so what I thought was great is that like we were there and there were events. Like it wasn't like, oh, we just go to the pool and then there's nothing to do at night after we like have several drinks at dinner for nothing. You know what I mean? So it's like, right, it's like, oh, we're there and there's things to do.
Well, one thing I felt also getting older, I mean, obviously, like, a couple's trip is really nice. Like, it's, like, romantic. It's, like, a nice way to connect. But a trip with friends, I feel like, has a whole different energy. Like, when we went to Whistler, that was so fun. It's just, like, fun to have, like, a group and, yes, like, a vibe. And, like, you know, like, obviously, you're with your, like, your husband, but you're also with your friends. And it's kind of just like a whole, like, it, I do feel like it makes you feel like a deeper connection to people because you're just, right, spending days with them. But you're also like, you can sort of like, we're at an age where like, you're not all in like one disgusting Fire Island house. Like you can like have, right, your own room and go back and then you like hang out together in communal spaces.
Yes. Right. And like you can, there's also like more combinations of people who can hang out, which is more stimulating because it's like, right, you and your friend, you and your husband, you and your friend's husband. Like, you know, like, right, there's different, there's just like different combinations that make it like more exciting. And like you can do, oh, we're going to do this and you guys can do this rather than like we all have to do everything, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
And yeah. So yeah, no, totally. We should plan some more vacations.
We should. I mean, we tried. It's so hard. It's like, that's also the thing. It's like so hard.
We
the older
try,
we get.
Yeah.
The older we get, the harder it is to like wrangle everyone where it's almost like, I feel like if this, no one would ever be, I would, if I was sent out an email and I was like, guys, let's plan a group trip to Mexico for 3 days. Like it would never happen just because like,
right,
there wouldn't be like the onus of like a wedding that you felt like pressure to. I'm like, it's almost, right, like how I forced everyone to take a vacation, yeah, together.
Yeah. No, it's true. Remember when, yeah, I tried to make a trip to Big Sky earlier this year?
Yeah. We've tried to do so many trips that didn't Abby's work out. We've done Aspen like a few, yeah, years ago.
I would do another trip. I'm trying to think like when. We have another wedding in February in Miami.
Oh yeah, that's so gonna be great. Yeah,
that'll be, I think that'll be like probably our group trip for 2022.
I think probably, like, yes.
I also think we're gonna get to like round two of the pregnancies or maybe round one for some, right, of us, you know, so that's, yes, gonna be, and then that's gonna,
that's what I'm saying. Well, that's why it feels so special because it's like the older you get, the hard, it's so hard. Like once everyone has kids, it's like, it's not like we can all casually just like jump on a plane and go to,
right,
you know, just like fly off somewhere. Like it's hard, and I think it's kind of, that's why it just feels so special to be able to like do that with as, totally, many people as you can.
Well, I'm thinking, like, maybe once all the kids are, like, birthed, maybe, like, you know, after the round two, maybe, like, a more convenient, drivable thing. You know, drivable group trip type
situation. That's a great idea. We're already planning our trips with people that humans that don't even exist yet.
I'm planning fall 2023 in my head. I'm like, okay, well, if it's 9 months, then, like,
where am I going to put this? I'll drop the... You just bring your mom. She'll watch.
I will. My mom has big plans for the next few years.
Yeah. And I mean, the only obviously other downside was the drama within my family and my parents. And I have to say,
did you talk about that on Brides?
I did talk about that. I didn't go into like extreme details, but I was going to say my walk down the aisle was like very tense. With my parents on either side of me, I felt like I was in like, and you know, I mean, looking back, I'm kind of like, and I said this on Brides too. I was like, I should have just walked alone. I think
no, it's nice that here's why, because your dad, like, your dad was so happy, like he was so
really happy.
He was so like honored to be part of it, and like if that's the price you have to pay for, you know,
right.
He was really happy. But no, I was thinking, I was like, they just have to get down the aisle. Like, they just have to, like,
I was like, are they
going to
push each other off of this aisle? Like, I don't know. I was like, it just made the moment of like, and I wish if I had a regret, it would be like that I like looked back and I was like focusing on that.
It would have been impossible not to focus on.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepy's Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
I was surprised that Sean put family drama question mark on the outline because, you know, to what extent do we want to go into that? You know what I mean?
It's funny because when I talked to my therapist about like a year ago, like right after I got engaged, or like what I wanted in a wedding. And it was like, I just want it to be like normal. Like I want it to be like, because I remember like events like my bat mitzvah or things like growing up where it was always like very like, you know, like. Somewhat my brothers were last minute like writing the invitation like addresses on the invitation envelope. It was just very much like not like proper.
Right.
Like not that it had to be like fancy, but just that it had to be like not like
mean.
Extreme like, chaos of like people screaming at each other and like dysfunction and whatever. And like I feel like I half achieved that. So
I think that there was a lot of like maneuvering to ensure that like those things that could have gone awry were either like kept out of your sight or ignored or like quarantined in another way, like,
you know, sequestered.
Sequestered. Like there was like, I will say like, I came out of the weekend feeling like, okay, I knew obviously that like you had a lot of chaos, but there's a difference between like you know, witnessing certain elements of it growing up or like throughout the years versus like 3 days of everyone is together. Like it's the flip side of all the friends being together. I was like, how
it's like the toxic people can now can now like have 3 days to like infect everyone.
Like after that, I was just thinking, like, how does she handle like this level of tension and chaos, like on a regular basis, like that? Like, so I came out of it feeling like I give you so much credit for.
Oh, thank you.
No, really. I don't think anyone ever.
Well, it's like Mike. Like, I don't even think.
How did she come out normal? Like, I'm like, how does she like? That's kind of normal.
Yeah. I don't think that Mike even like understood really. Like, he came out. He also came out of the week. Even, and we've been together for 4 years. And right. I don't think he's, you know, he's heard what I've told him, but it's different when you see it. And I was like, this is just like a glimpse of what it was like growing up. Just like a glimpse. And it was like that. Like, it was like that, like every day.
Right.
And it's kind of like, and I don't even like, it's crazy to me. Like, I can't even like imagine, because I'm so far removed from it, like what that must have been like for me almost. And like,
I feel like so much disassociation, and like, I feel like maybe that's why you love to nap. Like, I get it. Like, with the nap is like your only escape from
saving grace, right?
Like, yeah. Seriously, like, no, I think so too. Like, it's hard to really understand until you can't escape it for a long period of time. And like, there's multiple events at which, like, you just have to make sure that, like, everyone's fine. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like, in one event, the person's fine. But, like, it's almost like they can't control themselves for all three events.
It's like, you just don't know what shoe will drop. And that is, like, as bad as the things that actually happen.
Yeah, that's like... You're like, it's like emotionally abusive. It's like you're walking on like these eggshells to make sure that you don't like trigger this person who like will like try to ruin things for you.
Right.
And I mean, this all sounds very vague, and I don't think anyone listening will fully get it because they weren't like
it's
fully there. But
maybe with benefits can get the details. Like,
well, yeah,
if you told the details, it would be.
You still wouldn't get it. Like, so I'm saying I've told Mike the details. I think he's like, he kind of like it's really impossible to fully understand it unless you are, unless you see it. And this was just like a little bit of it. And like, it reminded me, it made me very thankful for Mike. It made me very like, it reinforced his most positive qualities to me, which are like stability. And like, and I mean, like, it's funny because like the most, you think of like what am I so excited for? It's like, stability is like not like the sexiest, most romantic thing, but it's like, it's just like the everyday little nice things. The fact that he never explosively yells or gets angry or like starts shit or like just like ever, like life is calm. Life is nice. Life is like.
Yeah, no, I completely relate to that. Like, honestly, like that is part of like why I love being with Avi, that things are just like good. And like, if a problem comes up and like, ironically, like the last day of the Sunday, the day after your wedding, I told you, I received some very bad family news. And like, it literally just even through that, like, I think about like in my family, like what that news would like, what something like that would have been like. And I see the like how his family handles it. And everyone is just so like supportive and resilient and positive and there for each other. And it's not like a, how will we handle this? It's like, we're going to just like conquer the problem and like, you know, do the best we can. And like, everyone's going to be there for each other. And it's like, obviously, like I would say my situation, first of all, I have fewer family members to like throw into the mix and just a different level of stuff. Like, it's not as bad. It's just not as intense, but obviously it was very chaotic. So I do feel like Avi, I'm like, I get it. Like, stability is the appeal. Like, it's just
the most underrated thing. Yeah, I think especially if you come from that, it's just like the balance that it's kind of like how they say, like, you know, like there's intergenerational wealth, but there's like almost like intergenerational stability, which is an even almost more powerful thing. Which like, unless if it's kind of like chaotic families breed chaotic families, but like stable families breed stable families, and like that's almost like the more valuable thing to be born into.
Totally. The best is if you are both stable and have intergenerational wealth.
Best of both worlds. I feel like it is a rare, like, amazing thing to have, like, a, like, rich, like, happy family.
Right. It's, like, doesn't exist. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But But what I was going to say is that, like, what you're saying about intergenerational stability is, like, there is a such thing as intergenerational trauma. And, like, I would strongly argue that both of us come from families. I mean, we absolutely come from families. Both come from, like, Holocaust families. Like, that is, that lives in your DNA, literally. Like, the fear of, like, running from the Nazis. And plus, I've pointed this out before, but, like, all of our, I would say almost all of our friends, like, came from some sort of,
well, that's like sort of the nature of like, being like a Jewish person in the Northeast of America. Like,
well, not necessarily, because not, it's not all like Holocaust, you know, like, you know, I don't think it's necessarily all, you know, Jews, I think, but I wonder if
most
that's
people
like,
seem what, to be like second, third generation. No,
Jewish people, I would say, I mean, but they're not necessarily, they don't all have Holocaust relatives necessarily. But I'm saying, like, we gravitated to people, even if it wasn't the Holocaust, like, whose parents came from some sort of, like, escape.
Yeah, totally. And I think there's also, like, a little bit of, like, a mental illness thing also, at least in my family, that might also contribute in there somewhere.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Same, but where did they get the mental illness?
I don't know. Can you, isn't that a genetic thing?
I think, no, like trauma can like, trauma literally changes your genes. And like, plus there's also,
does it?
I mean,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, it actually like changes your genetic makeup and then you pass that down to your kids. Plus,
that's
there's
crazy.
Like,
I didn't know that.
No, it's like absolutely. Scary. Yeah.
Your DNA?
It literally changes, like, yes, like your cells, your cellular makeup.
That's so crazy. I really didn't know that.
Yeah. You should get into Googling this. It's very much like, but, I mean, that's the
sounds
whole,
like a rabbit hole. Yeah.
No, it is. But it also helps you understand, like, you can't, if you come from like something very, very traumatic, like it's not possible to just be like fine, you know?
Right. Yeah. So no, I mean, you need a lot of like therapy to like undo that. And if you don't, I think that's where like your shit gets really passed down. But I mean, it brings us sort of to Thanksgiving, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's funny. I feel like people love Thanksgiving. I've always hated Thanksgiving. I've always had a lot of family drama and chaos around Thanksgiving. There have been like multiple Thanksgivings where like the police were there or like there were like family, like huge feuds and like people screaming at each other. And that was even like when my parents were divorced and they weren't even speaking to each other. Like, I've always hated Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, how was your Thanksgiving? Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was fine. I mean, our Thanksgivings are like very small. We used to go to like my dad's sister's and like that was kind of like our always Thanksgiving. Right. But now since the past like four Thanksgivings or five Thanksgivings have just been like me, my mom and Avi, like a few years ago we had like family friends. So this year it was just like the two of us and my mom at my apartment and it was nice.
No, that sounds great. Yeah. It's interesting. I feel like Thanksgiving is like the closest Jews will get to Christmas, which is sort of just like a holiday around like eating and like hanging out.
I have to say, I feel so fucking jealous of people and their Christmas decor. I'm so annoyed. Like, and I feel like I really, like, I can't have a Christmas tree. Like, my in-laws are Orthodox Jews. They would fucking flip out. My mom's parents were not particularly into being, you know, they're not religious at all. But they still were like, we're Jews. We don't have a Christmas tree. So my mom is like, no Christmas tree. So there's no one to advocate for a Christmas tree.
Yeah. I mean, I have to tell you, as someone who's now, this is my third year of living with Mike. Okay. The first year, I was like so fucking excited. Like, I was like ordering all the ornaments and like getting, and again, this is not like a religious thing at all. Like, we're not like doing like a nativity scene. I am Jewish, plan on raising our kids Jewish. So, like, it's really about like just like the decor and the feeling and the Christmassy vibes. And I was like so into it. And it was fun. I was like, I went on, that was a 2019. We went on tour. I like missed the tree. I was like, how's the tree doing? Send me pictures of the tree. It was like my daughter.
I love listening to you talk about Christmas. We should do a whole segment on this. Keep going. Yeah.
But then I have to say it loses its luster a little bit because like, then it's like the second year. Right. And you're like, okay, we're dragging the 6-foot tree into the apartment. There's like pine needles everywhere. And then Christmas is over and you have to like throw it out. So then you're like, oh, this is like this depressing like tree that you're like taught, like all this throwing on the pile of trees on the street. And then like we have all these, the thing about ornaments is that
you have to store them.
You have to store them. So now we have this big bag of like Christmas shit, and then like the Christmas skirt, and like there's like all this other shit, and like I'm saying the first, that's what I'm saying, like the more you do it, the more you're like becomes from like I'm so excited to get the tree to like, and then this year we got back from our wedding the day before Thanksgiving, and we usually get the tree from Whole Foods on Black Friday because it's like $45 for like a 6-foot tree, which is like unheard of.
I don't know how much do trees run. I never even like occurred to me that it could be expensive. A street
like 6-foot tree is like $200.
What?
Yeah, they're so expensive. They're like extremely, but if you get them from Whole Foods, again, Black Friday, very, very cheap. If anyone were to ever think about getting a tree.
Did you come back so that you could get your tree for $45?
No, we did. Well, that's the thing. I was like, this year, Mike was like, so like, we don't live near Whole Foods. So I'm like, listen, like, I can't do this year.
What?
I can't get one for the apartment. I'm just like,
at all?
I'm tired. I just planned this wedding. Like, I can't be like figuring out how to get this tree and like decorating it. And then like, you know,
can
what I mean?
I decorate
like, this
is a busy... your tree?
I don't have a tree. I was just like,
are you
this...
getting
I was
one?
Like, he was very upset about it that we didn't get a tree.
One?
But no, we're not getting one.
Jordana.
That's what I'm saying. The first 2 years were very like exciting about the tree. This year I'm kind of, it's a lot of work. I don't think you understand. It's like literally, do you know, it's like you
need
two
people.
I went
to a
tree
decorating party when I was younger.
It was probably little trees.
No, a big tree.
A 6-foot, like there's a reason there's like a whole event around the Rockefeller Center tree. It's like a process. Like there's the lights you have to, it takes like it's like a full day, and it's actually kind of nice. Like,
and yet you give everyone such shitty ratings.
When we have kids, I think it'll be like a beautiful, lovely, and like that's his one real family tradition. Like he fucking loves Christmas, so does his whole family. It's sweet, and like I like going to his parents because they do all the work around that. But what I'm realizing is that it's a very expensive holiday. Between the ornaments and the tree and the lights and the presents, it's kind of just like, there's just, it's a lot. And it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like, I'm kind of like, I need a house to celebrate Christmas.
We've all been there, trying to fit everything we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. But with Bass, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes, bring them all with Bass. I love my Bass. I bring it literally everywhere I could possibly need a carry-on bag. And that's because, like I just said, they have thought of everything. I love that my bag expands. And so when I overpack, as I literally do every single time, I don't have to sit on my suitcase anymore to try to squeeze it shut. I can just use the extender. Honestly, makes my life so much easier. It's one less thing to worry about, having to contemplate, do I need to bring this? Do I not need to bring it? I can just bring it and have the peace of mind that I have it. And my Bass allows me to do that. So it really just eases my whole peace of mind when traveling. Bass has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Bass has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Bass has your personal items covered. Right now, Bass is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/betches. Go to basetravel.com/betches for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/betches.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break.
They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
I can't believe you're not getting a tree. Like, I'm actually a little bit shook.
I just got married. I have, like, I need a break from, like, traditions.
Okay, fine. But no, I loved listening. While I was on the way to your wedding, I was listening to your rant about Christmas gifts and how you just want, like, one nice gift. And, like, I cannot get behind that sentiment more. Like, I am so past the point where I, like, I'll buy myself the things that are under $100, like, and I'll get them when I need them. You know what
Instead
I mean?
Instead of waiting. Right. Well, that's kind of like Jared's mentality too, of like, in his family, it was like, if you wanted something, you just got it. You didn't, like, literally, like, Mike has gotten me a gift and it's sitting in our apartment and he won't let me, like, I know what it is because I told him, and he won't let me open it until it's just like,
what is on your Christmas list?
Oh, and then last night he was like, my parents said your list is like a little light. You've got to like...
Light?
So now I'm like fucking like searching for shit to add to this list. So now what I've decided to do is to get like all... To put all like the beauty products on it that I like always kind of want to try. But okay. I'm not like... I don't like... I'm kind of like... It's a good time to be like, I don't really need this, but like... Yeah, I could try like this like lip mask or like whatever. Like I kind of like would like... But that's like all these like things under $100 that you're... You know what I mean?
I totally would be in the camp. I'd be like, forget all the gifts. Get me one really nice handbag or like a coat.
They don't want to
do really nice pair of shoes.
That's what I say. And he's like, you don't understand Christmas. It's like, and I'm like, also, but it's like, I kind of get that with kids, maybe.
I get it with kids because kids, what are you going to buy a kid for $1,000?
Santa, yeah. But unless like, oh, Santa left you like 45 gifts under the tree, like whatever, blah blah blah, and it's like, oh, you get so many presents and like it's so exciting for them. It's like a whole it's Christmas culture. it's Christmas culture. But I'm like, we're like it's like gonna be like me and you and your brother and your brother and like your sister-in-law and your parents. We're all like adults between the ages of like 30 and 65. Like, do we like, we're not like excited. We don't believe in Santa. Like, there's like, why can't we just do it like a different way? And then I get when we have kids, maybe we do it differently. I don't know. He's like, you don't understand Christmas. That's just like how the, I'm like, and then I get kind of like, okay, I'm an asshole because I'm coming in and I'm trying to like, I'm like this Jew marrying into this family and trying to like,
efficient
hijack Christmas and like change it to make it more like, me.
Yeah.
It's like not my tradition. Like I should just do what they do because it's not, this isn't my thing. Like instead I'm coming in trying to change it.
Well, as the buyer and the receiver of gifts, I'd be like, this is just silly. Like, why don't we get like, you, like if you're going to spend $1,000 on a person, like why not just get them one really amazing item that's like high quality and they're going to keep forever versus like,
right.
You know, it's sort of
well,
like,
that's what I'm doing with Mike now.
Right.
Where I'm like, he's like, okay, the two of us can do that with each other, but like, that's not how my parents do it.
Right. I would be like, can you pay for me to go on a vacation? Like, just put a voucher in an envelope.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that's how, it's like how we think. That's not how, it's like a different, it's like a culture. That's our biggest interfaith cultural difference, I think, is the way that we think about like maybe that.
Gifts.
Potentially gifts or things like that. Where I'm just kind of like, and you know me, I'm obsessed with utility. I'm like, if I got you, and he knows what I got him, like a nice like work backpack.
Okay, that's a good I'm like, solid gift.
Yeah, and I got it. I'm like, you could be using this whole month. He's like, no, I don't want to see it until Christmas. I'm like, what are you talking? Like, why? Like, you know what it is? It's here. You could be using it all month. Like, he wants to open it on Christmas, but it's so. I'm like, it's the most irrational thing about him, and he's an extremely rational person.
But it's also funny because traditions are not rational. Let's like be real. Like, they're just inherently sort of not. Like, it's that's so funny. So do you have anything you like are really excited to get? I could think of things to buy, but like, again, just buy them.
Yeah. Well, I lost some like jewelry and some random shit at my wedding because in that presidential suite, because I think people were coming and going and like there's like maybe someone took like my like flip flops that like were, you know what I mean? Like they could have looked like someone else's size. Like there were people in and out of there. And then my mom didn't come to the reception. So she was probably like rummaging through all my shit.
Oh, you think she took your jewelry? What jewelry?
No, I don't think. But I just like, you know, like that necklace I wear every day. I don't
that's
know.
Gone?
Like, I don't know where that is. I don't, unless it like turns up in some of my stuff. But I was like, you know what I mean? There's so much going on.
75 years.
I know, I've literally worn that every day for like 5 years. So I do need some new like staple stuff. So it's actually a good year to have this little holiday. But
you know what you should get?
Yeah.
I think the best.
How's your Hanukkah?
Hanukkah.
Fine.
I've lit the menorah, you know. I made some latkes. I feel like I'm getting really fast with latke making. Like I am now an expert. I can do it in like an hour. So if you want some, over. I'm happy to make them. You know, this fun,
I made them,
delicious.
I think I DM'd you this. I made them last year. I'm going to make them. Okay, here's the other thing about interfaith relationships. Now I feel like I have to be like the promoter of all the Jewish. I have to promote. All, right. I have like, whereas like if I were married to another Jewish person, I think I wouldn't like think about like, I'd be like, oh, we're not. If I don't light a menorah, I don't care.
Avi like, does not but, care. I'm like, right. We have to light the menorah. And he's like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, now I would normally be like that, but now I kind of feel like I have to be like the Hanukkah advocate. I have to get into that mode, especially for when we have kids, because there's like this holiday where they're going to get 75 gifts. So I need to be like, and they're going to like, my thing with them is that I want them to consider themselves to be Jewish. So now I'm kind of like, I have to be like the pioneer of all the Jewish traditions, which I don't even really like to do. And now it's going to be like my
like the Jewish
thing
traditions
to implement.
Honestly, like, okay, I actually think the most lovely Jewish tradition is one that most Jews do not celebrate, which is Sukkot. I think that actually, like, I mean, Hanukkah's nice, but
it's very low in the importance.
It competes
with cultural.
Christmas. Yeah. Passover, I think, has a little bit of a Thanksgiving feel with the Seder. But, like, all the food, if you're actually keeping Passover, is disgusting. And it's, like, a very – it's not, like, a happy holiday. Like the theme behind it is not happy. Like, but so Sukkot, you build this little, like, hut thing outside. The building is probably equivalent to the Christmas tree difficulties. But you then are supposed to, like, eat your dinners in it. And it's lovely. And it's during, like, the early fall, so the weather's nice. And, like – no one even celebrates it, but I actually think it's like probably the like nicest, easiest holiday. Like there's no, there's no like negative shit about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to compete with a lot of the like the Christians are like pretty good at like making the holidays like Christmas music. I love Christmas music. I still listen to Christmas music like myself, like before I even met him. I like really, it's just like, so like they've got like great beats, like they've got like a vibe going on, and it's just like, it is hard to compete with that.
Impossible. And think about Easter. They're making eggs. They're getting chocolate.
There's the bunnies.
Cute bunnies. It's like, cute pastels. Oh my God. Avi's texting me. He goes, you need to build a hut. It's not an easy holiday.
Right. It's like it's probably like the Christmas, you know what I mean? Like,
well, we
that's
never
more
built
like,
a hut as my family never did this.
We actually, my dad actually used to build that in our backyard. We used to eat under it when I was like in like the 90s. That was like a tradition that we actually had. I remember there was like a period of like 5 years where we were like pretty religious.
Yes. I remember that.
So we did.
And you wouldn't
eat
a cheeseburger.
Oh yeah, when I was growing up it was like completely kosher. We had like two dishwashers, which is weird because like now I'm not even kosher
of all the things.
Right, you know what I mean, like the two sets of silver, like we were like pretty into it. But yeah, it's very hard to compete with like the jolliness of like the Christian stuff. Like I that's what I'm worried about for my kids, because like I want them to like be like into being Jewish.
Can I recommend bringing back Sukkot? Yes. I really recommend.
Okay.
Look, you don't even.
I can't do that in my Long Island City apartment.
Look, you
but
know, no. Here's the thing. He's now messaging me. It's not easy to just build the hut. Okay. Here's the thing. Someone built theirs every year.
I would love to go to like Sheikh Sukkot.
Sheiksukis. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Okay, turn out. When we are, we
like
have
Sheik Christmas.
Maybe in Connecticut. You know what I mean? Yes. Maybe Connecticut or Westchester. Maybe we'll even have a pergola in our backyards on which to build it.
You could do the, what's her name? Like in, you know how like she did the Chinese New Year thing?
Crystal.
Crystal?
Yes.
Yeah. Like I want to do like, that was like Sheik Chinese New Year. Yeah. I want to do like Sheiksukis. Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
Okay, so let's bring Sukkot into the mainstream because it is the happiest holiday of the Jewish New Year, in my opinion. You don't have to fast. You don't, look, if you're religious, you go to temple, but like we're going to do just
we're
the
not
eating.
Doing
in
that.
We're doing the eating in the hut and someone will build it for us and we will have lovely meals. And like you get the lulav and the etrog, you have, whatever. It's like, it's not hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a
okay.
Yeah. So let's bring
like
back Sukkot, the best Jewish holiday that no one knows about. And
love it.
Yeah. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. And then I'm getting, you know, that's what's going to make my kids into it. I'm going to be like, yeah, forget Christmas. We're going to eat outside.
Yeah.
In this.
Al fresco.
It's going to be like a COVID safe situation.
Yeah. We're going to eat al fresco. And like you also decorate the sukkah. Like you decorate it with like
ornaments. I've been in them. They're nice.
Yeah. They're fun. Okay. That's what we're going to do. Sukkah traditions. I
love
actually
it.
I feel like our friends would appreciate it if we did the work of the hut.
Shabbat's nice. The Shabbat, like,
Shabbat dinner
vibe.
Is
it's
nice.
It's just like, it's weekly. It's just like, it's a lot of.
Right, right.
It's like monthly Shabbat is nice. Like,
that's as they intended it to be.
Yeah. Right. No, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I love the idea of like Sheik Shabbat, but like every week is like, we used to do them in our apartment in college, but like, it's
those
a bit
were not
much.
Chic.
No, not chic. But I'm saying like fun, like drink, you know what I mean? Like we're drinking.
Yes.
Or it's kind of like a dinner party.
I'll bring back Shabbat. Shabbat's lovely.
Yeah.
Like
you should
time
do that.
To be with family, friends, delicious food,
totally.
Nice candles, challahs, delicious. Okay, we're going to bring back the positive things.
But you're not going to do that every week. That's like absurd.
No, I'm not going to do it every week. But it doesn't matter. It's more about like acknowledging. We're at the baseline of trying to, I mean, my kids are going to get plenty of exposure to Judaism. I'm not concerned.
Not worried about them.
But for your kids and you want, you know, you want to be like, Judaism is nice. Sukkah, Shabbat, we'll do it. We'll do it up. We'll make it fun.
Yeah.
We'll make it chic. Good decor.
Well, it makes me understand
Christmas
why Hanukkah is so played up because like,
it's played
it's
up.
It's kind of like.
Also, like the story of Hanukkah is like. It's when the actual
the
story
same,
of Hanukkah is like
the actual
the best
story of all of it. All
what?
Of it is like they tried to kill us and we survived, and here we are.
Sukkot though has I can't think of one negative element of the story. Like it was just like God provided them food and they ate, and that was
it's
great.
Basically like our. I feel like it's just like our autumnal like harvest festival.
Yes, so that it has nothing like there's no violence. I don't think involved. In the holiday. So Purim too isn't bad, but Purim's not bad.
Yeah. It's like it's like a worse version of Halloween.
it's actually
how I would...
Well, actually you could argue that it's better because it's like the adults it's more adult focused. Like you're supposed to drink. You're supposed to drink. Technically.
Right.
So
yeah.
Now that we've educated everybody
on all the Jewish holidays, this is, you know, don't put that in the title. I don't think anyone will listen to this.
Yeah.
Why Sukkot is the best.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings. So you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Let's talk. I didn't get to watch. Okay, so when we came back, suddenly, like, the TV in our bedroom was, like, broken.
That's horrible.
Which was really annoying. So when we had, or it happened, for that it happened for in a nice time. Well, it happened nice time because it was Black Friday. So we just got a good deal on a new one, but it hasn't arrived yet. So I haven't been, and that's usually when I watch, like, we watch, like, most of our TVs, like, in bed before we go to sleep, as you're not supposed to do, but that's what we do. So I haven't really watched much. I watched a couple episodes of Selling Sunset. And what do you think? Have you seen the whole thing?
I have. I wasn't even
get to talk about your eggs. We'll talk about that next week.
Oh, my yeah, because the retrieval is Saturday. So we'll talk about my eggs next week.
Okay, so we'll do the whole. And Eileen will be back.
Yes. So we will talk about a lot of fertility combos, I'm sure.
Yes.
It's like, it's funny because we're going to have to be like, Eileen, how's your baby that we've never heard anything about? Right.
Just tell give us the full rundown.
Tell us about the past three months in 15 minutes or less.
Yes. Yeah. Sum it up.
So, Selling Sunset I thought was fine. What I found to be more interesting was the scandal over whether or not Christine was really pregnant or if she was like really engaged to this guy. And
right.
Christine's
such a crazy character.
Here's the thing. Christine and people like her, I don't want to be like, oh, she... I have my opinions, but I just don't really feel like being like accusing someone of faking pregnant right now. So I'm gonna just say that reading about Christine's potential fake pregnancy led me down a rabbit hole on Reddit about Hilaria Baldwin's potential fake pregnancies for kids two through five. And
that she didn't actually have them?
They are surrogates that she like, but she like wore but a... People think she like wore a bump and like tried to and pretended to like breastfeed.
That's crazy.
Okay. So, right.
Do you believe
okay,
that?
I don't know. I'm still examining the evidence. Some of it is solid. Some of it is just like hard to believe. But what it did lead me to conclude is something about Christine and people like her is that, and I think you can tell this about her personality, whether or not you believe the pregnancy or whatever. People like Christine who are just so like, over the top narcissistic, they capitalize and like lean on the fact that like you and I are saying it's totally batshit that someone would fake a pregnancy. So like there are people like that in this world who would, you know, there are people who who do stuff like that. So like, why wouldn't it be her? You know what I mean? It's sort of like, I'm not saying, oh, I'm sure I have like evidence or like I'm settled on this, but I'm like, there are people like that in this world who capitalize on the fact that there's people like us who are like, I can't believe someone would do that. And so you suspend your disbelief and you're like, there's no way because it's just too horrible of a thing to lie about or whatever. So I'm just a little bit wary of that. I always have in the back of my mind, like, just because I think that this is crazy or just so beyond the pale doesn't mean that there are people who wouldn't do it. So that's where I am and my faith in humanity.
Right. I guess my thought is, and I know you and You and Aileen are big conspiracy theorists.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
A little bit. more than I am. On the spectrum of, if it's a spectrum.
I just think I'm a bit more of a skeptic. I would call myself a skeptic. I like to explore things and look for
I guess you're a skeptic and I'm a critic.
Yes, and Aileen is a conspiracy theorist. Aileen thinks everything's like a giant plan.
That's our range of negativity.
Yes.
Skeptical, critical, and conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
I guess my thought on that is like, all right, like to fully get into the idea that like that is fake is kind of like almost like takes up too much of my time. I'd rather just default to truth. And okay. Malcolm well, Gladwell.
They're taking advantage of you. People like Malcolm you would Gladwell, rather default to truth.
Malcolm Gladwell, who you interviewed, I'm a huge fan of his, all of his books and, you know, podcasts in general. He has, I think, a podcast episode about that where it's like about like defaulting to truth and how it just makes for an easier life.
Yeah.
Like you could be like potentially like analyzing every, like you probably would find some error in truth if you like fully analyzed everything. Like a conspiracy theorist is like right occasionally.
No, but you,
but like it takes up so much more of your time to be like doing it that it makes like those people are usually much more miserable than like the people who are just like, I'm just gonna like it. Fine. If she faked her pregnancy, like, fine.
That's kind of really how I feel. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I don't.
Right.
Here's the thing. If she wanted to use a surrogate, good for her. Like, I don't.
Also fine. Yeah.
Like, fine. Like, that's, to me, honestly, I know what you mean, but this doesn't stress me out. This excites me. I get to read.
The drama.
Like, I get to, for me, I don't want to default to truth because that's boring. I want to, like, explore, like, I want to know all the intricate details of, like, you know, of whatever, like, I want to, like, examine it. And that's the fun for me. I don't necessarily, like, care. Again, I don't care whether she did. I don't care about even getting an answer because I don't care about her that much.
You wouldn't be, like, upset if you found that it was true. You wouldn't, like, you'd probably be excited.
I don't care what it is. Like, it could be one. It could be the other. It could, and I don't really even, like, to me, it's, like, more messed up to lie than it is to use the circuit. But obviously. Right. But like at the same time, I'm like, this is fun. We get to explore whether she did.
With something like that, I'm just kind of like, okay, like I know it's like scripted and like not real, but it kind of like, I guess that takes a way. I like Real Housewives because like, even though you know there's probably some scripted parts of it and it is like a show and there like needs to be like conflict, it seems less scripted than Selling Sunset.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
But I think that's part a stylistic choice when they like created the show. Like I think Sunset was intended
to be. It
has
like almost like a script.
It feels like narrative. They say you're going to go to this scene and you're going to go sit in this restaurant and you're going to talk about this. Like, and it doesn't feel
and
like
that's probably what they do for Real Housewives too, but in like a lesser way.
Well, I think with Real Housewives, I think they probably film much more. Like they film longer.
Right.
They film extra footage. And then I think they select what will fit with the storyline rather than like, or they'll say like, you're generally going to discuss Rinna's lip line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're not going to be like, stay on Rinna's lip line. Whereas like in Selling Sunset, it feels like it doesn't even feel like they had a whole dinner. It feels like they got there and for the purpose of having
like props. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like there was less filmed. There's less cut. Whereas like you could probably watch like weeks of footage of a Real Housewives season and like most of it is like irrelevant yet real, and then they just pick the what fits the story. And I'm sure The Bachelor's like that too. Like I'm sure they capture every single thing. So
yeah, and if it's like too glossy a little bit for me, like this Selling
Sunset, it feels like a magazine, like,
right, with like even like the outfits, like they're all like, it's like too, and the way the camera angles move, it's just kind of like, there's nothing that feels like real about it. It all seems like it's very LA, like bullshit.
I completely agree with that. It's like, look, you're looking for content to watch. It's there.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
And I liked last season because of the Justin Hartley thing. I think so. That was really what drew me to like last. I mean, I watched all three seasons. It was in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the show has been out for a few years. For some reason, I thought it came out last year. And then I watched it again this year. And I was like, no, it's been out a while. It just became popular from that last season.
Yes. And I think part of it was like the pandemic and like the,
right,
you know,
the Justin Hartley thing.
Yes, totally. It was good. good. I mean, yeah, like, I don't care that much. It's also so short-lived. Like, it's going to be over. Like, the conversation, I think, I don't even think anyone would really care about the season if it weren't for the Christine question.
Right. Well, that's what they needed. And she's such, I mean, she's a great character in that way, in that she, like, she's sort of like, you love to hate her, but, like, also kind of feel like a little, like her a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. That, yes. Totally. Totally. It's a, yeah. It's a solid pandemic show, you know?
There's too many, like hot people in the show, I think, just, like, with, that are, like, too glossy.
I agree. Totally. I completely agree. Speaking of, glossy, though, should we talk about the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip? Are you watching that? Are you liking it?
How is it?
I think it is brilliant, genius, award-winning. Like, it's
really,
you actually see once you take, like, the, it's literally a show where you just have the best, most, like, seasoned professional housewives who know how to, like, produce a show that's interesting and also likable and, you know, show all sides of them. Like, you really...
Right.
I like the character, like, the people, except Ramona. Ramona's such a fucking horrible idiot. Like, but the other ones, I'm like, I like you. Like, I like... Even when they're fighting, I'm like, you are all sort of likable and I feel, like, a connection to you. And right. They're just highly entertaining. Like, they must have left so much good shit on the cutting room floor. Like, it was good. You know,
they've also, like, withstood the test of time. Like, it's interesting to the idea of being, like, a professional reality star, because you think of it as something that has no skills. But, like, I do think there's, like, a learning curve in it, and, like, you can become really skilled at it. And, like, it's about mastering the art of, like, being interesting without being hated, but also kind of being slightly controversial, but not too controversial. It's, like, a very fine line. And I guess to be on any of these Housewives shows for, like, 10 plus years, you kind of have to have figured that out, because, like, a lot of people come and go. So it's interesting, just the whole concept of being, like, good at being a reality star.
I think it's, like, what I think kind of actually is the key to it is, like, you're not too hated and you're not too loved, and there need to be people on both. There needs to be not just people on both sides of liking you, but an argument to both like you and hate you. And
right.
You have to, like, be unafraid to say stuff. Like, Melissa Gorga, who I actually like, she's, I would say, maybe, like, the weakest on the show. Melissa Gorga and Cynthia, I think, are kind of both the weakest. She's a good, but
I think Melissa Gorga needs Teresa.
She
on her own can't, because she looks better next to Teresa. Like, she looks more rational, and she looks more like putting her next to Teresa, I think, like, makes her. I haven't even seen the show, but just watching Real Housewives of New Jersey for, like, all the seasons, I'm kind of like, she is less interesting without having Teresa as, like, the person that she's sort of rebelling against.
Totally. And Teresa, I actually think, comes across as much nicer in, like, much more down to earth in this show. Because I think you kind of, now you can sort of see, like, maybe she's, like, she's playing up her role on Jersey. Like, she's been in that role for years now. She's clearly, like, she knows her place there. And here, where she doesn't have, like, a set place because they just, like, got on this vacation, she's much, like, nicer, more rational, more, like, I don't want to say rational. She's just, like, more of a real person.
She probably doesn't feel the need to be, like, I think when you're on your own show, you're kind of like, I run the show. Like, and all these women probably feel that way,
yes,
too.
They
like,
all
this is
do.
My show.
Yeah. They,
like,
all this say is my that. Show. They're
I,
all like.
Right. Yeah, like, I carry the show. And now it's, like, there's no one to, like, they don't need to, like, prove themselves to any of these other people, because all these people, and it's not like an ongoing series, right? It's just,
well,
like, this one.
Well, no, there's going to be another one with a different set of housewives. And the next set of housewives is, like, the batshit set. It's Brandy, Taylor Armstrong, Tamra, Vicky.
Oh my God.
Wait, there's more. Dorinda, Jill Zarin, and Phaedra. And I think maybe there might be others. So it is, like, it's like the, we're off the show. We're just like, yeah. So I heard that,
okay,
that
that's
season
be
is
like,
just crazy.
That,
yeah.
I'm interested to hear, because those people also, like, need it more.
Yeah.
Like, these people, do you know what I mean? Like, the ultimate, the OG housewives that are still on are kind of like, this will be like a fun thing to do with like my other like number ones, like my other gold medalists.
Yeah.
And this other thing will be like, I'm clawing for relevance. Yes. And like, these people are a lot more desperate. So yes, I think it'll be a lot more interesting.
Well, the other part that I love about it is that there's like, the fourth wall is different. So they talk about their shows. I love when they talk about their shows, they talk about their marriages. Like, I just think it's more like, they're not doing it for the sake of a storyline because there's not a long enough filming time, I don't think. Like, so they just have to like live the vacation, okay, you know, rather than like be play along with like the season of the storyline. So I think it's just like, and they're also, the fact that they're all sort of like getting to know each other a little bit, it's like people are different when you first meet them or when they first.
How long
are, like,
are they there?
I think it was like 8 days or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's, I'm so excited for the second one too. It's just, it was genius. They should do more of this.
Yeah, well, it's almost like, I guess like they have that with BravoCon, but it's kind of like, it's like an adult millennial female like Disney World of like, doing like Bravo World of like, could take, you know what I mean? Like, right, Teresa and like all the, like, it's kind of like what you would imagine Disney World is for someone who watches like Moana and like that whole universe. And it's like, oh, it's like Cinderella standing next to Snow White. Like, they're together. It's
like, Kyle Richards and Ramona. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Really like, funny. I feel like they should be like, they should have like rides. Right. Like, can you imagine like the Teresa coaster? Yeah. Or like the Tom Girard, you know, take a ride on Tom Girardi's like flipped cars.
Yeah, that would be so fun. That would
we
be
should
so
make
fun.
A digital version of that. Yeah, what would that look like?
Like a VR, like you're driving down Tom's switchback drive.
The Ramona coaster, yeah.
That would be so, and she like screams at you and she's like, ah!
Yeah, and then it comes out of nowhere. You're like at Dorinda's haunted Berkshire's mansion.
Yeah, that's so cool. We should pitch this to them. Seriously. Don't take your idea. But wait, seriously, just speaking of, while we're on Bravo and those types of people, did you watch the Jen Shah doc?
No, I watched that too. What's that on?
Hulu. I found it boring.
Okay.
Mostly because I already knew everything that they were talking about.
So a lot worse than the Erica Girardi one.
Way worse. All right. But fine.
Let me watch that for next week and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about your egg freezing next week. We'll talk about Ultimate Girls. We'll talk about, we have a lot of TV that we need to catch up on. Aileen, I'm sure, has been
We gotta talk about Succession next week, because this past, I thought this was like one of the best episodes. Poor Kendall.
That's what I heard. I need to watch it. And yeah, so we're gonna have to fit in 3 months of Aileen's maternity leave, all of Succession, all of Ultimate Girls Trip. We got a lot to do in the next month. It's gonna be a busy one.
Busy. Yeah. Very, very busy for us journalists over here.
But that's it for us this week. Sammy, are you coming to the U Up Live show?
Of course I am.
Amazing. So that is, I was your last chance,
it's
guys.
It's like Disney World for the Betches.
Exactly. You're going to be next to all your favorite characters. Yes. You can like toss a bouquet with Nicole. It's going to be a whole interactive Betches experience. Sean will be there. Jorge, you've got the whole group. You can, you know, you'll get your autograph book signed.
Yeah.
But it's this Wednesday, Town Hall, New York City. It's in like Times Square, 8 p.m. It's a great time. Go with friends. Bring someone you're dating. Bring someone you're married to. Bring someone that things are weird with. It's going to be a great time. Betches.co/UUpLive21. I know we're almost sold out, but I think there should be like a few tickets left. Guys, we are so excited. We'll see you Wednesday. And we will see you next week on At Betches at Thursday.
Yes. Be sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple or Spotify. And we will talk to you next week.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com. Betches.